Praise the Lord. Good evening. This is Deliverance Roundtable Discussion, and I am Patricia Xavier of New Wine Ministry. It is Thursday, and tonight we will be discussing Be Ye Perfect as Your Heavenly Father is Perfect. And we're going to be reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. If you wish to email me, you may reach me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. If you wish to listen to other programs of Deliverance Roundtable Discussion, go to blogtalkradio.com/PXV. There you will find archives on how to cast out spirits of rejection, deception, anger and hatred, fear, unclean spirits, rebellion, the devouring spirits, the spirit of division, torment, the Jezebel spirit, and many more. If you would like to order my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, in which we are reading from, email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. Send me your name and address, and we will mail it to you. The cost is $23, and we will send it right out. The sale of the book will go to this ministry, which is very needed in the world today. If there is deliverance needed in your home, church, or workplace, you will learn how to understand the harassment of the enemy and how to deliver one who is bound. And now, for those listening by radio, we are having roundtable discussion with some of the best that God has given for us to understand what deliverance is all about. And we will be discussing various things in my book, as we already mentioned. And we are going to be starting on page 72 with the first paragraph. And Carmen, we will start with you. First paragraph, page 72. We have cause for hope. Is it on? Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. We're working on it. Okay.
Hello.
Yes, it is.
Number five.
No. We have cause for hope.
We have cause for hope. Cause to know. Cause for lasting encouragement. Through Christ, we are in fact doing as He commanded, become perfect, as our Father in heaven is perfect.
Now, Carmen, as you know, a lot of people don't believe that you could be perfect on earth. Most teach, in fact, almost all churches teach, that if you die and go to the next realm, the heavenly realm, then will you be perfect and all imperfection will fall off. But that word perfect, most do not understand, is in the Greek translated as complete and what else?
Mature.
And mature. Very good. Complete and mature. That's what the word perfect means in the Greek. So when we say we have cause for hope, cause to know, cause for lasting encouragement. Through Christ, we are in fact doing as He commanded, if we do, becoming perfect as our Heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. Do you believe that's true?
Oh, yes. Because we're going on to want to be unto like Him. We want to be, become like Him. And He's perfect. He's mature. I mean, He don't have no flaws.
Do you recall any scripture that tells us we are to be like Him? Anyone? Matthew 5:48. And there's no reason why you can't be here. Matthew 5:48. Please look it up. Matthew 5:48. The first one to come to it. Please take the mic. There's a mic there also. In the center of the table. Anybody have it? Thank you, Trish.
Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect.
Is that 548?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is 548. There it is. It's in the scriptures. And the scriptures tell us something else also. That we are to be transformed into his image.
Yes.
Now, how many of you have been told, whatever church you've gone to, that the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to be transformed into his image, according to the Bible? Okay, praise God, Kyle did, and you did too. And if we would, and what church was that, by the way? Do you recall?
Northwest Arkansas Pentecostals.
Say it.
Northwest Arkansas Pentecostals in Rochester.
May God bless that church.
Hallelujah
is right. And Kyle, you need a mic. Everybody needs a mic when they speak. It's going on Blog Talk Radio. Goes all over the world, by the way.
Okay.
Kyle?
Mine was a church in Massachusetts. I don't remember the name off the top of my head.
Well, God bless that church you went to in Massachusetts, because it's very seldom said. How are we to be transformed into his image? We are to be transformed into his image. How?
By renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind. And wait a minute. How is our mind renewed?
By the word.
By the word.
By the word.
By the Bible.
By the word of God. And how would the word of God transform and renew our minds?
You believe it and you act in it. Not just only in your head, but you act on it. You trust.
Okay.
By faith.
By faith. And how do we know that we should, by faith, believe in this word? How do we know that? Anyone? Come on.
God said it. God said it here in the word.
Because it's truth.
Yeah. Truth.
And it's been found to be truth, because if you've experienced it, you will know it's a reality. Now, were you going to say something, Yesenia?
I was going to say, because it's been done.
It's been done. Mm-hmm. Good answer. Yes, Michael.
I would like you.
Well, that's very good, Michael. Thank you. I'd like to read the scripture where we just quoted being transferred by the renewing of your mind in chapter 12 of Romans, verse 2.
Very good.
It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that is good and acceptable and perfect."
There you go.
"Will of God."
The perfect will of God. Now, wait a minute, Michael, before you give it up. The transformation and the renewing of your mind comes through the power of the Word of God. Through what?
Through faith.
Through faith by the Holy Spirit. Which means that Christians should not be in name alone, but be empowered by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And once we're empowered by the Holy Spirit, then what we read and what we know becomes a reality, and our minds are changed from fault to truth.
Amen. And the evidence of it, the faith, is you're thinking differently.
That's right. You begin to think differently.
You start thinking things that you've never thought of, and they make perfect sense, and they empower you, and you walk in this newfound understanding that makes you say, you know what, I'm not thinking that old way again, because it didn't do you any good. And once you know what the difference is, then you begin to really have a good journey in the Lord.
Okay, this gives us clarity of mind.
Yes.
Now, the enemy would come to do what?
Rob, steal, and destroy, kill and destroy.
And how would he do that?
Well, he would do it by through lies, through deception, through ways to make you look at your past, many, many ways. Make it that it's impossible for this to happen. He'll counterattack by whatever you believe is true. He'll come in with lies.
He comes by lying.
Yeah.
Yes, George.
The definition of a perfect as teleios, I can't, anyhow, complete in various applications of labor, growth, mental, and moral characters, and so forth.
Amen, I love it. And it brings a mature spirit.
And I also would like in Colossians, there's one in Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warnings every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
And who was working to present everyone perfect in Christ Jesus? Who was it that was doing that?
The Lord God.
Through whom?
Through Jesus Christ.
Is that what? What?
And in the Holy Spirit, of course.
What book are you in?
What book? I'm in Colossians.
So that was Paul.
Yeah,
Paul the Apostle was speaking. And read that one more time. This is Paul the Apostle speaking. What is he saying?
Whom we preach, warnings, every man and every teaching, and every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
And that's just after to whom God would make known that it is the riches and the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
So Christ in us being what? Manifested, right?
Right.
In us, the hope of glory.
Right.
Yes, that's what it is. So what this whole work of Christ is all about is to manifest himself in us. And that we should become like him. And we would have a universe, a world of like-minded people that have the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ manifested in them, including the power and the glory in which he is. Now, that is what he's been waiting for in his church. How many of you see that in the church? Do you see it in the church?
Yes.
Praise God. Anyone else? You see it, Yesenia, in the church of God?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. And so this is a waiting. He's waiting for a people, a group of people, a corporate body that'll rise up in his likeness. And believe me, once that happens, this world won't be the way you see it right now. It'll be so changed that peace will be for everyone. Peace. My goodness, the things we go through, the pain, the heartaches, the fears, the frustrations, the anxieties, the stress, gone. Walking in faith, and being led to do what is going to bring that to you by the Holy Spirit. Yes, George.
It comes through testing, trials, and tribulations.
And how many of you have been tested and gone through trials and tribulations? And it comes through that if we continue in by faith, correct, George?
Amen. Yes.
If we continue in by faith. Now, listeners, those that are listening and will listen to these archives, please remember that faith is the key to all of this. But we have to know what we have faith in. And we have to understand what is going to bring us to the place of this peace that we all need. We all need it. Every one of us need it desperately. And we want it. We want it. So, again, going back to the first paragraph, we have cause for hope. This is our hope that it will be. Cause to know, cause for lasting encouragement that through Christ we are in fact doing as he commanded just by doing what we're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Becoming perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Like him, like our Father,
Amen.
Like our Heavenly Father. How many believe that's a possibility? Oh, Lord's looking and he's seeing this. He's going to go for it. I'm with you. Next paragraph, number 5, Yesenia.
Yes. The person must renounce all things that are evil in which he has knowingly allowed himself to be involved. Renunciation, is that correct?
Renunciation.
Renunciation is an important part of deliverance. Renunciation means to make a clean break from Satan's work within you.
Okay. How many of us know that it is hard to renounce things that are evil in our lives?
Amen.
And Michael, tell the story of what you had to do to renounce evil in your life to come to where you are this very moment.
Well, I had to quote the Word of God. You had to fight with the Word of God.
What did you have to renounce?
Oh, what I had to renounce?
The person must renounce all things that are evil in which he has knowingly, not by accident, allowed himself to be involved. Wait, Yesenia's hands up.
Okay.
Yes.
I think this is perfect for me.
Put it by your mouth so we could hear.
I believe the first thing you have to do is admit or confess. And what Michael was just saying, look the scripture so you can have a promise that you can and that there is and that you can be an overcomer.
And why is confession so important?
I think in every situation, if you can't acknowledge that you have a problem or you're wrong, then you can never fix it. You can never overcome it.
Okay, good answer. Good answer. Michael?
Well, I'd renounce.
What did you renounce that made change for your life?
Well, the old nature, drug addictions.
Okay.
The stronghold of addiction.
The what?
The stronghold of lust, addictions.
Okay.
What else? Unforgiveness.
Big one. Because that's the base.
Yeah. Another one was rejection.
Mm-hmm.
It was huge.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Anger.
Oh, yeah.
Anger's a big one, the renounce.
When you're rejected?
Yeah, rejected,
you get
anger.
Really angry, yeah.
Anger. And there's confusion has to be renounced. Hate.
Mm.
Hate. Self-hate is huge, you know?
That's a goodie.
Yep.
Because if you are hating yourself, if you hate yourself, you can't love anyone else. It's impossible.
Yeah.
There's no way to relate to it.
Right. And the biggest one is that you got to forgive yourself. And for a man that has pride, oh, another one to get rid of. Pride.
Well, Michael, isn't that the base of everything you've been saying?
Yes, it is. And another one is fear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, fear brings torment. You know, fear of rejection. So there's a lot to renounce, but the Holy Spirit gives you the enabler to do so and the comfort. And knowing through the testimony that you see through other people's lives gives you a witness that, hey, if they can do it, I can do it, you know. And that's what I found. But quoting Scripture, what helps me a lot to renounce, Pastor Patricia, is 2 Corinthians 5:17. And I kept doing this. I says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become
new. Oh, what a wonderful scripture.
And I'll tell you what, that has helped me so much.
Oh.
I do it today. I do it at nighttime.
Oh.
I hear this little creeping on thoughts going in. Hey, you remember the? No, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Oh, praise God.
And I
God.
Do that. You know, and I know that I do it in my sleep.
That is wonderful. You know that scripture so well. It became part of you.
Yes, it did. And that's a part of the sword. You know, that's part of the sword.
Yes, it is.
And it's brought me peace. And I'll tell you what, that's the thing. Once you taste the peace through the victory of the cross of Jesus Christ, you don't want the other side anymore. You don't want to go back to the other side. You want to go forward up to Mount Zion. You want to go up in Adam, in Christ. But that's what it's helped me, Pastor Patricia.
And going up in Christ that you want to do is because you begin to love him.
Yes.
Your heart changes and love is established to the point where you really do love the Lord.
Yes.
I mean, you love him.
Right.
And then once that begins as a reality, you begin to love you.
Right.
You love yourself. And when you love yourself, what happens?
Oh, life. Beautiful things start happening.
But you can love others.
You can love others. You see beautiful things. Oh, you have compassion and passion comes up and you're just going, oh, my. You want to get romantic.
Be careful here.
Well, you know what I mean.
It's the, I do.
It's the agape. It's the puppy love. I mean, phileo, the sturgo and the eros. But I'm still at the agape and phileo. I'm at the agape phileo. So.
Pastor Patricia's not a dum-dum, you know.
I'm at the agape phileo.
We all see. Lord, bring some
love. Yes, George.
You know, I had to renounce a generational thing.
Tell me about it, George, please.
Well, there was a generational thing that went back to, and I was not made aware of it until in Deliverance Roundtable.
Oh, praise God.
That past sins of my grandfather, it was in relationship to not married, conceived out of wedlock. With
your dad?
It's in our generation.
Oh, grandfather.
My grandfather.
And your dad was conceived out of wedlock.
No, I was.
Oh, you were. Okay.
And that was a generational thing. And my brother is the same way. Same things happened in his family.
I see.
But that was a generational thing that had to be.
Generational bloodline curse.
Bloodline curse that had
Amen.
To be renounced.
Amen. That's right. And George, when did you fall in love with the Lord?
When did I do that?
Yes. How did that happen?
Well, it happened at a Boy Scout wood badge training course.
Okay.
We were in our patrols of men, and this was about in July of about 1974. Of course, as a churchgoer, as a kid, and what have you. But anyhow, what it amounted to was, We sat down in our little patrols and we went through exercises and we had to put our priorities, what was priorities for us. First of all, I put my wife, Patricia, above, and then the Lord, but then.
Wait, let me get this straight.
Well, I put my family
Patricia
and my
was
wife first.
In your family was before the Lord.
Each one of us in this group of seven
okay.
men.
Okay. What you're saying is they were more important to you.
Yes.
Okay.
They were more important to me.
Okay.
And then the Lord changed my mind.
How?
And confessed, well, then I, and then when we all, there was 56 men in a circle and we all had to say something at this round table, this big round, and I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord in front of those men, and that was the beginning of a wild, wild, wonderful ride.
Praise God. And you fell in love with the Lord?
Oh, yes.
I mean, was it just a very full and wonderful feeling that you had in discovery?
Well, it was a wonderful discovery because, and yet at the same time, it put me into the Word. And finding the things in the Word is when I really found fully in love with the Lord. You know?
The Word.
The Word.
The Word changed
helped to
your heart.
Helped to confirm everything to me and made me, it just, and it came so alive to me.
You know what it makes me think of? Jesus Christ came to save our soul, but the Word of God saves our mind.
Yes. Yes.
Yep. That's what
Amen.
You
yes, Carmen.
About renounce, I remember I had to renounce any words that I spoke against myself. Like
against you?
Yes, like nobody's going to hurt me again, and nobody's going to control me again.
Protection.
Yes, and then the other one's playing the Ouija and those witchcraft things.
Ouija board.
Yes. Those kind of stuff. Renounce all these.
All the occultic things you were doing.
It was plain, you know.
It wasn't it is occultic.
Yeah, the
plain or not.
Plain with my friends.
Yes,
that's what I had to renounce to, and renounce to, all
those
words.
Good point, because witchcraft is getting very powerful right now. I mean, it's always been around, but now it's building in a tremendous power.
And the movies. I mean, I saw the titles.
Everywhere.
We went to Walmart. We passed by The Exorcist, Flying in the Time, Ouija, Ouija boards.
Ouija boards, all of it. It's everywhere.
Making it fun.
It's rising up as something very strong, very powerful, and many people are getting involved. So the darkness and the light are starting now to separate. And evil's getting very evil. Yes. Okay. Anyone else wants to talk about finding out how much they love the Lord? Yes, Michael.
I just wanted to say that on the men's side, you know, we have to definitely go through the Word of God instead of looking at Jesus Christ, the image, because I says, oh, man, how can I love a guy? You know what I mean? I mean, it's so easy for women to fall in love with the Lord, the person. You see a picture of him, and he's a guy. But for us who have been, say, for instance, had problem trusting men, or even that, we have to overcome that to get close to this. So when you say we love the Lord, I find now that once the way that the Lord did with me is that the Holy Spirit worked in me through revelation. When I started reading the book, the Word of God, and I didn't read very many novels in school, I looked through all Surfer magazine pictures, I was very content, but this is the only book that has drawn me into it, and just, it's like a treasure map, and you just find things that are so inviting, and once you find that nugget, that golden nugget, it just works this life in you, these miracles start happening, and you start seeing things for where you were blind, and you start tasting life, and life in abundance, and it just, He knows how to put a hunger and thirst in you for the righteousness of Him, and which is good, especially for men, because we need that, you know.
Yes.
I think we really need it, and He knows how to work that in us. And all we have to do, I found, is that you have to be willing, and He'll meet you there. If you say, yes, Lord, He'll meet you, and He'll lift you up.
You know, Michael, it's so true what you're saying. It's harder for men. Mm. I realize that. Women are nurturers. You know, it's easier for them to open up into, not all women, but unless they have some very, very, very strong strongholds, bondages. But most women, they're nurturers, so it's easy for them to open up to the Lord in comparison. Men, the enemy fights men like crazy, and I know why. The men are the leaders of the world. It is men who the Lord called to rise up and to lead, to cover their wives properly, and to be the leaders of their family, the example, the covering. Satan will fight men more than they will, the demons will women, though they will fight women, because they will deceive women as they did Eve in the garden to cause falling. But when a man grabs hold, nothing's more powerful. Hallelujah.
Amen. One of the things that I had to overcome was to be open, to share. When somebody asked me, what are you thinking? I'd say, nothing. Nothing.
Black minds are very dangerous.
Pastor Patricia would reel me in and go, and I'd be dazing out like this. She goes, where are you, Michael? I go. And the one thing to really have to look into your heart and get honest.
Amen.
That's a really huge one for men. You know, like you said, women are open. I mean, went to women's, you know, we had a mixed meeting, and women were just being open, talking about things that were so deep. And us men, at the beginning, we'd be so shallow. We'd be going, hey, I think I have a problem with this piece of meat here.
Yeah.
I don't know. But you know what I'm saying?
You want to impress each man around you.
Yeah, you know, but when you get honest and you get deep, you know, and the release of it, and then knowing that nobody's going to beat you up, or nobody's going to ridicule you, or nobody's going to reject you, you have this freedom. And once I tasted that, I started getting so open, I had to contain it a little bit, you know, because I started sharing stuff.
We don't want
like,
to hear anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's enough. All right, that's enough.
No more confession.
That's all, you know, that's it. That's it.
Enough confession. So the person must renounce all things that are evil, in which he or she has knowingly allowed himself, herself to be involved. Renunciation, and that's in the heart, or to someone else. It helps to tell another. Renunciation is an important part of deliverance. Renunciation means to make a clear and clean break from Satan's works within you. Amen. Wow. That is so important. It is so important for men to do. And that's what these two men have done. And I know you two are on the way of doing it. And so is Rudy.
And Sean.
Mm-hmm. And Sean. Of course, Sean. And so the next paragraph is yours. Are you wanting to read it, Romeo? That's number six.
After a person being delivered has renounced all sin, it is important to command the devils in that person to unlink themselves by the authority in the name of Jesus.
Okay, what we're talking about here is going through a deliverance, literally going through a deliverance. So if you have my book, you can begin to read how to do it. And this is why I wrote the book. I wrote the book so that we could learn how to deliver another, because it's in the Word of God that we do cast out devils, we heal the sick, we could raise the dead if we have the faith to do it. Now, what is said here in number six, Romeo, after the person has already gone through deliverance, has renounced all sin, being delivered has renounced all sin. So it's imperative when you're delivering an individual to make sure that they renounce all sin by confession, by speaking it and putting it out there. And the devil will shake. Amen. The devil doesn't want that to happen. Mm-hmm. He will be very disturbed over that. Yep. Because he knows he's losing ground when that happens. Amen. So after the person being delivered has renounced all sin, now it is important to command the devils in the person to unlink themselves by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why is it important to command the devils in the person to unlink themselves? George?
Well, you got to break that linkage there, that cursed, and in Jesus Christ's name, you break it. But, you know, it says all sin. You know, sometimes in a deliverance, you're not going to get rid of all.
Not going to confess all sin?
You're not going to confess all sins. I mean, you know, maybe some of you will, but you confess all sins, you'd be here for probably a week sometimes.
Those that come to your mind.
But, you know, it's a step. It's an important step in that way that you confess that there with an individual. You have to have them speak it out. And that's like taking a vow, you know, in relationship to that.
You're right.
You know, another.
It's like taking a vow.
Yeah, I see it as you're taking the authority back away from them and giving it to God.
That's right.
And that you're giving Jesus the power over your life and not the demons any longer.
Very good.
So casting them out by speaking out, you're actually uttering, you're doing what God did. God uttered the words, let there be light. You know, yeah. God told us in the beginning that the most powerful thing we can do is speak.
Very good. So after the person being delivered has renounced all sin, it weakens their power, Kyle. That's when Satan starts to shake. The demons start to shake.
Yeah, because they realize that, you know what, you realize what the demons are doing to you. You no longer want that. You want Jesus in your life. And they know they're on the outs.
Amen. And then it is important to command the devils in that person to unlink themselves. And the reason, do you know the reason for that?
Yeah, that's releasing their authority over you. You're commanding them in the name of Jesus to go. Break
and
that
by
link.
Unlinking, we mean that they come in groups. You see, one is linked to another in various means and ways to keep that person in bondage. So once they're not helping one another, the demonic presence, not helping one another, and they're commanded to unlink, they lose some of their power right there. So that's why the demand to unlink. And if you've gone through a deliverance, you see that that works very well. So a person to, you know, the devil's in that name, in that person, excuse me, to unlink themselves by the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. They cannot unlink unless the authority of that name is given. Amen. You were going to say something, Susan?
I guess I will. Well, I was going to say that because they are linked, they're strong.
That's right.
And, you know, divide and conquer, that old thing. So you unlink them and they're not as strong as they were when they were a group.
Very well put. And so then they weaken. And once they weaken and you use that name, Jesus Christ, in the authority of that name. Now, you have to know, can never be done in your own name. I mean, by your own power. It's impossible. You cannot. You never will. But it is in the name and the authority of that name that is the power to cast out the demon. And it is incredible. And not enough Christians are doing it. They don't really know the power of that name and the authority that we have been given in that name, if we believe. Amen. George?
I got a question.
Please.
You're talking about a group. If the domineering, say, pride or one of the very strong or one of the top, you know, the some authority. Of his cohorts, what if you really, when you're in the deliverance, should you be looking at that or in that area first before you deal with his cohorts down there in at the lower level?
Well, that's the way you're going to find out who they are, is by commanding them to unlink in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because as it was said by Susan, in the grouping, they have greater power. Remember when they're cast out and then they bring back 1,000 more with them? It's in the grouping that they become more and more powerful. In fact, if we go to the page of 56, that'll show you the linking. Page 56, it says a list of the fruits of the Spirit and the fruits of the unholy spirit.
Right.
Okay, the opposite of love is hate. And under hate, you have the spirit of mourning and strife, impatience, brutality, evil, doubt, roughness, rebellion. They link together in hate. They're strongholds. And then when you break down each one, see where mourning is? Well, if you come down to two, where the word mourning is, you find out that under that is depression, sorrow, grief, sadness, and despair. They're linked. And that goes all the way down. So when you start to command them to unlink, you can get to them easier and cast them out, the cohorts out one by one.
You know, while you're speaking, you can type and shadow this in the natural as the formation of these demons is when you look at the mafia, you look at gangs. You know, they always have a leader, then they have their little lieutenants, and then they have the pawns. So when those lesser demons are like the little guys that are doing all the little work, while the bigger guys are just sitting back and just saying, hey, you know, once we got this guy in a lie to believe that we're powerful, then all the little guys try to captivate him, keep him there.
That's exactly right.
That's we can understand.
And if
that.
You would read right now, Ephesians 6:10, It will tell you that very thing.
Do you want me to read it?
Please.
It's in the Bible.
It's in the Bible.
There we go, Ephesians 6:10. And it says in the King James Version, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And we are in the evil day. "And having done all to stand, stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God."
So what we're dealing with these demons, you have ruling spirits. And those ruling spirits are in the second heaven. Now let's envision the second heaven. You have the first heaven. That's considered in the Bible right here on earth. The second heaven is in another realm in the heavenlies. As you look up in the heavens and you see the stars and the moon and all, there's a realm there. There is a, how can I explain it, another dimension called the second heaven. In that arena of stars and moon and arena of air, not air, but the universe. And in the second heaven is where these principalities are. And the power of darkness and the spirits. So when you start to break the links, you're pulling them down. You're pulling down these demon spirits that have powers of principalities over them, and we're fighting the ones that are here. And this is a work that is being worked by the Holy Spirit. So all these demons at work are under the principalities, the power of darkness and spirits in second heaven. They're under that. So we have to break them down first, get them out, and then we bind the demons, the ruling demons in the second heaven, and then we're at the person's free. Now the person, once they're free, has to start filling their house. Mm-hmm. It's swept clean now. Mm-hmm. It's swept clean of all the demons. But now you have to start filling it. And what do you fill it with? The word of God and faith. Faith and the word of God. And you start building that up. And once you do that, when they try to come back, and they will try to come back once you bring someone through deliverance, they see that it's filled with faith and the word of God, they'll back off. But when they come back and they see that it's empty and has not been filled with faith, believing the word of God, they'll bring in not only themselves, but 1,000 more with them. That person will become demon-possessed, demonized. And they'll get into all the works of the enemy that you could consider until the demons kill them. And that's what you're seeing a lot of right now. A lot of people are dying because demons are manifesting themselves in them and destroying their very lives. So it's imperative to understand and to know deliverance. You see someone in bondage, they've got to get delivered. Whatever that bondage is, whether it's drugs, alcohol, lewdness, sickness, disease, sex, any of that, lust, any, you know, murder, whatever the case may be, they need deliverance, or else the demons will come in more and more and more until they possess that individual. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. Amen. We're seeing people saying, "Well, I was told I had to go there and kill that person." Who told you? I don't know, a voice in my head. Who's the voice? Satan. What are we dealing with? Spiritual warfare.
Speaking of somebody killing the individual that I visited, Richard?
Yes.
He, of course, he's under medications, which caused it, but he mentioned that he wanted to murder somebody.
There you go.
But there, he was under...
Wait a minute, everybody, I want you to really hear this. George, he has been under medication. George.
Yes, under medication.
What kind of medication is he under?
I don't know what they are, but it's because...
Well, where he's at, it should be morphine.
What, he had a stroke is basically what, and...
But if he's being taken care of by hospice, it should be morphine, maybe something else. Yeah, I'll give it that much, but it should be morphine.
It is a medication, but after he took that medication, he actually spoke that out that he wanted to kill somebody.
George, you don't know what you're saying here. This is the most important thing that could be heard by all of us, whether it's medical medication or whether it's street medication. It's all medication, George. And when that begins to happen, it opens the door, the windows to our soul, to demonic presence. And then it starts to back into that person and starts to talk through them and destroy through them. It'll end up killing the person and trying to get them to kill another. And George, I am so happy you heard that. Not for that man's sake. I don't want to name him. Not for his sake, but for the sake of the hearers that are listening right now. The danger of medication is unbelievable. And especially today, it's beyond what most people know or understand. And it's bringing demon spirits into their soul. God help us. And they're in destroying the person that they're in. Killing them. Killing them. We've got to do something. We've got to save. And Christ gave us a way to save. Oh, help us, Lord, to understand the depths of this. Yes, Michael.
I have a question for you, Pastor Patricia, about deliverance and seeing someone who is in bondage and performing the deliverance on the individual. What do you do? And you probably had cases where you've delivered them, but then all of a sudden you just saw them go right back into that same old garbage. What do you do with that type of situation?
What happened to you?
Well, I thought you were going to go on that.
And you're right.
But I wanted to know.
Experience is the best answer.
But also, too, but you're the outside looking in from the individual. And see, the one given deliverance, the one that has been delivered and goes back in, I tell you, once you've been delivered and you go back into it, it is the most rugged, agonizing road that you could ever imagine. It is such a way that you put, you go through depression, you go through groping, like in the new day, you wish that you didn't go this route. And
it's hell.
It is. And
it's hell.
It is a working that if you really want to look at it, it has many manifold operations that could be a benefit to the individual to learn how to get rid of foolishness, to get a true repentant heart, to really put a hunger and thirst for righteousness in the individual. It is a disheartening situation probably for those that have to go through and watch patiently while the individual goes through this operation of chastisement. But it is a painful thing, and the Lord warns about it. He says, it's better for that person not to know the way of righteousness
than
to turn back.
Yes.
And I know what that's like.
Yes.
I know what that's like, and it is, and the one thing I know for sure when I went through it, I can't see how anybody thinks that they were saved when they go through these things, because there's no way that I thought I was saved. There was no way that I was saying, well, I'm going to stay in this position and I'm going to be okay.
And you experience.
Yeah.
In your experience.
Yeah, and I could testify to that. That's a deception and a half. And that is, there's no way. And so, but the Lord, the Father God, he'll put a person, if they have to go through that, to learn about genuine repentance. Because there was like times I would cry out, I can count them on my hand, 5 times in that 10-year period, that I said, Father, I don't want to die. And it's like, okay, he heard my cry, and he lifted me out of the muck and mire and looked at my heart and says, no, that's not it. And he put me right back down into it. And then I went through this, you know, a little of some more agonizing things, and there was reprieves, but still there was no happiness. Then I said, Father, I don't want to die. Put me up, and he goes, no, not done yet. Put me right back into it.
Wow.
But finally at the last port where I cried out to the Lord, where I had nothing to hang on to, no idols, no security things, no possessions, nothing. He says, now it's time. And all I could do is cry out to him and hang on to him. And to put a newfound appreciation for him, for our Father, for our Lord, for the Holy Spirit, for the position, for the fellowship, for life. And
you know, I don't think I would have ever said this, but I am so glad you went through that.
And
can I tell you why?
Yes, absolutely.
Because nobody can deny what you're saying is true or untrue.
Yeah.
Nobody can say that. Your experience and what you've been through is what happens. And we don't need to go there unless we won't listen.
Right.
And unless we refuse in our pride to do what we want to do.
And
that'll kill us.
Amen. In my condition, it was twofold. There was a pain and a wound in my heart, but also there was a lust for still the things in the world. And so the lust...
What kind of things, Michael?
After that, it was security. You know, like I could say, the lust for the acceptance of my dad.
Oh, you wanted your dad to love you.
Yeah, that was one of them.
It's a sad thing.
To be loved. Actually, it was to be loved. And because I was rejected in many ways, that I was so hurt. But then the combination of the lust for the things of the world, like back to the old things, back to surfing, back to drinking, back to doing drugs. You know, the soulless, cover myself, whatever you want to call it, with the fig leaves. You know, I just put the fig leaves back on. And so that was this, and it was green.
Did it serve you?
Served me for about a year, and then after that, it just dried up. I'm telling you, it just dried up.
And did you cry out to God?
Not at the beginning, because I knew that I was in the wrong, and I thought, okay, I'm going to go through something now. I'm here.
So pride, you felt you were
pride
wrong.
Kept me, yeah, pride
and you
kept
couldn't
me
cry out to him
no.
because you were wrong.
Right. Pride kept me down. But I knew in the back of my mind, I knew this was the wrong way, but yet I couldn't cry out to him. So all the adversities, you know, literally everything just dries up. Your finances, when you come, what happened, instead of going into the blessings, I went into the curses.
Amen.
I was cursed with
Amen.
A curse.
Amen.
Everything in Deuteronomy chapter 28 from 15 on, I experienced.
Amen.
I did.
Well, this is what we want to avoid.
Amen.
And we want to help those who have gone there and are there and how to get them delivered. That's what this teaching is all about. How to get them delivered. How to get Jesse totally delivered. Totally. Because there is such gold in these people. Such, and I really think that's why Satan works overtime to bring destruction to certain individuals. Because if they are ever totally free to serve the living God, they would be such a threat to him. He couldn't bear it. So the enemy uses generational bloodline curses to keep people in bondage and death so that certain ones can never know the glory and they can never come out of it, and he will stay unthreatened by them. But I believe people that are in bondage to that degree have something very incredible inside of them. Very incredible. Okay. Yes, George.
Well, that testimony is something that a lot of us, I didn't go through that, but that really speaks to people. But I have to, when I went through my cancer episode.
Cancer.
Cancer. Lymph node cancer in the fourth stage of it.
Woo.
Of it. Standing on the word, reciting the word, And during that time was one, you're talking about an exciting time. I had one wonderful experience with the Lord that I just, I was laying in bed and I just felt like I was in heaven. I mean, it was so wonderful and good, you know, with that experience. That, but it was because of my faith and the prayers of many, many saints, north, south, east, and west, and the good Lord totally healed me of that cancer. And I could have gone the other way. And
could it ever?
I could have get depressed and not believe in the Lord going to do that healing. But that was, you know, that was one of the, and you were asking about other experiences. When I got that baptized in the Holy Spirit, whoo, that was another experience that I went on for. We were in a couple's retreat, and wow, that was another experience that went on for, I don't know how long it was, but it was really another experience in the love of the
from
Lord.
From another level.
Yes.
It brings us from one level to
Amen.
Another. And George, we forget, and thank you for bringing that back, we forget how you have overcome the death of cancer. And that was a very strong work, too, by the way, of cancer. And God delivered you through your faith. So we have two situations here. One is Michael, who was delivered from the death of drugs, alcohol, and I think you were sick, too, at one point.
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yes.
And then George, who's been delivered from cancer, and who has also overcome a situation in his life where your family or you yourself was born out, you were born from, well, they would call you, according to the Word of God, and this is not me, they would call you a bastard because that is someone that is not born by a mom and dad in marriage but outside of marriage. And yet you've overcome that. Rejection, and you were also, I think there was a period of time where you had absolutely no faith in yourself, and on top of that, you overcame cancer. So this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about what God can do in a life, how God can bring one out from death into life that is glorious life, and now you're a respected man. People admire you. People know you from all over the country. They were praying for you all over the country. And Michael, he's on his way getting back into the ministry. And he was a pastor at one time, and God's bringing him back. And so, yes, what were you going to say?
I could say that truly, in this last 2 years and when I came back, I can truly say that I am born again. And I could truly say this, that Father God knows how to break a man's pride. He knows how to break a person and through brokenness. See, I was a marred vessel. I was wounded. I was marred. He says, that's it. I'm going to break this vessel of clay, and I'm going to make a new one. And I say that I know this by the hand of our Father, that this second chance to life and appreciation of life, he had to break me to understand the depths of his love, to understand even more so. And through it all, it may sound totally out of whack how he did it, but he did it. He knew exactly what I needed. And Pastor Patricia, Pastor Paul, for some prophesied, gave me a word, sat in the garage and said, Michael, I don't want to have to go through what you're going to have to go through. And when I was a young,
my Lord,
when I was a young lad sitting in there going, huh? I walked out of there going, what was that all about? Now I can say how many years later, from 1991 now to 2015?
26, 17,
17, but 2 years ago. But 2 years ago, I came back. 24 years, I say, now I understand what he said.
Praise be to God. The glory of prophetic utterance.
Yes.
Now, there's another one in the house by the name of Rudy who's being very quiet right now. But Rudy, would you take the mic, please?
Yes.
Well, Rudy, what we're listening to really are testimonies. These are testimonies of what God does in a life. Now, Rudy was a professor at?
At the University of California at Berkeley.
Berkeley University, a very well-known university. I don't know if any of you have heard of it, but it's very well-known. He also studied, I believe you studied, what did you teach again?
Well, I taught in the zoology department, which at that time was the number one zoology department in the country, according to the to Science Magazine, which was the authority on that.
So but science and physics also, am I remembering
I did have
correctly?
A background initially in geology and geophysics.
But this incredible man with his intellect was brought into something other than Christ. He was brought into?
Well, into seeking for and looking for gurus and finding God that way in a person, in an individual. Which is really missing the mark, isn't it?
And into the occult, and in that, and it was for a period of time that Rudy was involved in the occult. And in that involvement, he found that there was not a true answer there. There was not a true answer there. And you came to Christ.
Yes.
And when you came to Christ, Rudy is now not only not in the occult, but now he is writing books that have to do with the Bride of Christ. He's writing books that have to do with overcoming sickness and disease by faith. This man has come from New Age occultism as a professor at Berkeley into writing books for Jesus Christ.
Thank you, amen. And God gets the glory for that, doesn't he?
Amen.
And it's wonderful having both of you here tonight. We love you, and God bless you. Bye-bye.
Amen.
Thank you for coming. You see the glory, what God can do. He can do great. And Rudy would have been lost into this Eastern religion of guruism, is what I call it, which take a lot of money from people, by the way. And it looks to have answers. But let me tell you, anyone listening by radio right now, Blog Talk, let me tell you that they're not anything other than demon spirits coming as angels of light to deceive.
That's right.
And is he deceived anymore? No.
Amen.
He is not.
Amen.
Our God is a good God. And we have to really see the power of his love and his care and what he does for us. And every one of us that are watching our children go through things that we know are destructive to their lives or in our own lives, it's going to be changed by the power of deliverance. And the reason all this is being brought up is so we can know that as a fact, as a truth, that deliverance belongs to us and to our family members. Amen. And we are not going to be bound to evil deception.
Amen.
We refuse it.
Yes,
whether it's in alcohol, drugs, occultism, it doesn't matter. We're not going to be bound to those things. We're going to be set free as George was set free. Hallelujah. What a wonderful God we serve.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I was thinking about how there was a lady just the other night at here that got delivered and set free from an abortion situation that she had many years ago. That's another area that, to the audience out there, that is very important, I feel, to that Jesus Christ can heal and to take away that terrible thing that happened back when in their lives, but they can be set free, very much so, in the area of abortion, because that's, of course, that's on the scene in the public right now, and the women and that, and that's the whole issue in front of us in the public now in this government of ours. But that's, I was just thinking about that, that that's another area that people can get set free, because there are probably a lot of women out there that might have done that sometime in the past, and it's been haunting them all this time. But if you confess,
tell them, George, tell them
Jesus Christ is Lord in front of people, you can get set free of it.
Amen. You could. And what brings such shame and guilt is that you know you murdered. That's a tough thing to deal with. There's all kinds of sin.
I think the worst thing, you know, with
just
abortion.
Just a minute, honey. I just wanted to finish a thought. There's all kinds of sin. But when it comes to murder, we really have to consider the depth and the piercing of the heart on that. And then somebody that belonged to you in your own body, that was yours.
The shame involved is incredible. And these women that are standing up in front of the world bragging about killing somebody, it is a shame, because you are influencing young women. I was influenced at a young age to do something I would have never thought to do in my entire life. It was a underage, non-parental consent, government-funded abortion. I didn't even have to pay for it. My mom had no idea what was going on. I could have died in that procedure. Not just me, but I killed somebody. And it's being made okay by the world. And that's a shame. For they're giving these kids pills. They're saying you can take a pill and kill your baby and it's okay. No problem. It's okay. You don't need to not have sex. You can have sex. I mean, the shame that they are, I mean, I'm just red right now because it pisses me off.
Not a good word to use.
It's ridiculous, you know, and it's not just with our young girls. It's with our young men, because they are throwing their sperm, their seed. They're doing the same thing. They are sharing. They're doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they're being taught it's okay. And we need to be ashamed of ourselves.
You know, maybe that you have a ministry to rise up with pro-life and get out there. You need to rise up with pro-life and get out there. You do. Because it's on your heart and the experience is known, and nobody can talk about it more than somebody that's been through it. You two need to work together and rise up and do that. Pro-life needs you. Pro-life needs women who will get up and be as bold as those women were in their lying spirits and their desire for all of the giving and money of the world that will take care of them. They're not willing to go out and work as you are and as you are. And you have to rise up and you have to do it. And she'll lead the way. And it's time we do something. the three of you are called. Okay, let's do five more, all right? I think we're getting somewhere. Yes, George.
I was just thinking about the abortion issue 10, 20 years ago, or we did in Florida where there was a killing chamber. We were with the Catholics out there in front, and my wife Patricia actually and one other fella got one of the escorts saved and talked them into coming out and went and sharing with them and that. But you think about how that whole thing started with a lie at the Supreme Court.
You mean with Marilyn O'Hara?
Yeah. It was a deception and a lie that crept in, that's changed. And even if they knew what at the beginning with Madam O'Hara, whatever her name was, that they wanted to abolish or get rid of the black race.
Yes.
Sanger was in, but that was the original where this whole thing about abortion started, how the enemy got into this whole area, and that's how it started, that's what, and just think about how much it has affected, how the old enemy, old devil of death has come into this country through that lie. And then the whole thing is just another example of where the old enemy, the old Satan and his cohorts like to get in and destroy. And that's one of the areas. And I praise the Lord that there are some people that are, and tomorrow there's going to be a march.
Again?
Pro-life march in Washington, D.C.
Are
tomorrow.
You girls going to be there?
I just heard about it tonight.
See, now why didn't we know this ahead of time? If I had to go out and work and make money, I would send you guys out there right now. You need to be there.
But that was, you know, what that whole thing, you stop and think about it when you go back to the beginning of that whole thing. That's all the enemy.
You're right.
Comes in and destroys, try to destroy. And he's doing overtime right now and trying to destroy. And all those women and that are on the marches and all of them that hate Trump, that whole thing.
Will you pray for the pro-life? Yes.
I think with the new administration, he's already canceled international abortions that we are paying for. If they want to pay for them over there, that's their issue, not ours. So at least we're not paying for those. And the second one he's done already is brought back the Height Amendment to make that a law versus a thing that every president willy-nilly can put it on, take it off, put it on, take it off kind of thing. So the
amend.
Last... Huh?
Amend.
Well, no, to make it a law versus an amendment.
Good.
Because as an amendment...
They've been doing that, though.
Yeah, you can do that lovely mm-hmm. little pen and a phone thing.
Right.
You know, and change it up and down and up and
mm-hmm.
down. So once it becomes law, it will be law. And then the last step is to totally defund Planned Parenthood, totally. And that's $500 million out of our pocket that's going there.
Can you imagine?
And one thing I heard today driving home, which was really disgusting, if you remember Gosnell, that guy in New York that was carving up babies and things like that, he was actually, they were in the process of arresting him, and he was doing an abortion, and they let him finish it.
Oh, my Lord.
So that before they took him in.
God help us.
And it's like, what? You know, the cops didn't want to, but...
God help us to stand there and watch murder of an innocent little baby that isn't even in the womb anymore.
Yeah. Yep. So I just watched a thing tonight that Chili's, the restaurant, is supporting Planned Parenthood. So anybody who decides to ever eat at Chili's is supporting abortion, just so you know. Yeah.
Supporting abortion?
Supporting abortion. They're supporting
Planned Chili's Parenthood. Is supporting abortion,
yes.
Not planned.
Planned Parenthood, yes. They're donating money to Planned
okay.
Parenthood.
Okay, wait. Let's be clear. It's in two states only, so you have to be careful not to slam everybody. Indiana and Kentucky. They have like those little contribution things they give out. You know, like when you go to McDonald's, you get the little toy or whatever. You'll get this contribution card with your meal that 5% or whatever the percentage on is, it will be going to Planned Parenthood. So far, it's just those two states, but I am like Trish, and you just keep an eye on that. If it goes in any other states, people should be boycotting.
We should tell Chili already here that we won't put up with that.
Yeah.
We should do probably, that. Go to Chili's and say, I won't eat here if you do that.
They're probably individually owned, so it would be up to the... It's like
Great
Planet
to
Fitness.
Know. Great to know.
You know, it's like Planet Fitness when they allow men in the locker room, in the women's locker rooms. Same thing.
Well... We spoke on a lot of things tonight, Lord, and I am asking for your help for the march for tomorrow for pro-life in Washington, D.C. I'm asking that you would move powerfully, that you would release multitudes of angels and give them care over this situation. Protect every pro-life walker. If there is any destruction or destructive work trying to come against them, we say no in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Satan, you keep your hands off of pro-life. In Yeshua's name, Yeshua HaMashiach, all your demon spirits of hell will not touch God's beloved. And Lord, I ask for extra protection for the pro-life walkers. And I ask that you would send angels to walk with them. And I ask that you would multiply the people. Bring them from the east, west, north, south, more than the eye can see, as far as the eye can see, and further. Let it be the greatest, most powerful that ever has been as a demonstration on the face of the earth. We saw much of it by the pink hat women. Women who come against your commandments. And we saw city after city filled. But Lord, I ask that the numbers that come out for pro-life will so outnumber the ones that came out for evil and for death that will scare all of hell and the greatest demons and demonic presence around and about, and all who are a part of it. And they will fall on their face before you and say, truly, you are a great and mighty God. Bring fear in the hearts of those who do not know the truth, who refuse the love of the truth, those that are in darkness. Let it turn upon them and let them fall on their face before you and cry out, forgive me, Lord God, and save their wretched souls. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said, amen and amen.